none of which could be properly pursued at the moment. I saw Elaine reach the same conclusion at about the same time I did. She lowered her arms, smiled again, and said, "Excuse me, I've been sitting there a while." Then she paced into the bathroom. I went to the hotel's window and opened the cheap blinds a tiny bit. We were somewhere on the south side. Dusk was on the city, the streetlights already flickering into life one by one as the shadows crept out from beneath the buildings and oozed slowly up the light poles. I checked around but saw no shark fins circling, no vultures wheeling overhead, and no obvious ghouls or vampires lurking nearby, just waiting to pounce. That didn't mean they weren't there, though. I went to the door and touched it lightly with my left hand. Elaine had spun another ward over the door, a subtle, solid crafting that would release enough kinetic energy to throw anyone who tried to open it a good 10 or 12 feet away. It was perfect for a quick exit if you were expecting trouble and ready for it when it arrived. Just wait for the bad guy to get bitch-slapped into the parking lot, then dash out the door and run off before he regained his feet. I heard Elaine come out of the bathroom behind me. "What happened?" I asked. "What do you remember?" "Madrigal opened up with that assault rifle. Flash of light, then I was in the water." Elaine came to stand next to me and also glanced out. Her hand brushed mine when she lowered it from the blinds, and without even thinking about it, I twined my fingers in hers. It was an achingly familiar sensation, and another pang of half-remembered days long gone made my chest ache for a second. Elaine shivered a little and closed her eyes. Her fingers tightened very slightly on mine.
"We thought he'd killed you," she said. "You started to crouch down, and there were bullets shattering the ice all around you. You went into the water, and the vampire, Madrigal, did you say his name was? He ordered the ghouls in after you. I sent Olivia and the others to the shore, and Thomas and I went into the water to find you." "Who hit me in the head?" I asked. Elaine shrugged. "Either a bullet hit your coat after you crouched down and then bounced off your thick skull without penetrating, or you slammed it against some of the shattered ice as you went under." "A bullet might have bounced off my head, thanks to the intervening fabric of my spell-covered coat." That was a sobering sort of thing to hear, even for me. "Thank you," I said, "for getting me out." Elaine arched an eyebrow, then gave me a little roll of her eyes and said, "I was bored and didn't have anything better to do." "I figured," I said. "Thomas?"
"He's all right. He had a car near the docks. I drove that clown car of yours, and we shoehorned everyone into them and got away clean. With any luck, Madrigal had a tougher time avoiding the cops than we did."
"Nah," I said, with total conviction. "Too easy. He got away."
"Where's Thomas?"
"Standing watch outside, he said." Elaine frowned. "He looked very pale. He refused to stay in the room with his refugees, or me, for that matter."
I grunted.
Thomas had really put on his super vamp cape back at the harbor. Under ordinary circumstances, he was surprisingly strong for a man of his size and build. But even unusually strong men don't go toe-to-toe with ghouls armed with nothing but a big stick and come away clean. Thomas could make himself stronger, a lot stronger, but not forever. The demon knit to my brother's soul could make him into a virtual godling, but it also increased his hunger for the life force of mortals, burning away whatever he had stored up in exchange for the improved performance. After that fight, Thomas had to be hungry. So hungry that he didn't trust himself in a room with anyone he considered, well, edible. Which, in our escape party, had been everyone but me and the kids. He must have been hurting.
"What about the Ordo?" I asked her quietly.
"I didn't want to go until I could be certain that I wouldn't lead anyone back to them. I called them every couple of hours to make sure they were all right. I should check in with them again."
She turned to the phone before she finished the sentence and dialed a number. I waited. She was silent. After a moment, she hung up the phone again. No answer, I said quietly.
No, she said.
She turned to the dresser, gathered up her length of chain, and threaded it through the loops of her jeans like a belt, fastening it with a slightly curved piece of dark wood bound with several bands of colored leather, which she slipped through two links. I opened the door and stuck my head out into the twilight, looking around. I didn't see Thomas anywhere, so I let out a sharp, loud whistle, waved an arm around a little, and ducked back inside, closing the door again. It didn't take long for Thomas's footsteps to reach the door.
Harry, Elaine said, mildly alarmed, the ward.
I held up a forefinger in a one-second kind of gesture, then folded my arms, stared at the door, and waited. The doorknob twitched. There was a heavy thud, a gasp of surprise, and a loud clatter of empty trash cans.